Hi, everyone. Thank you for coming. I know there's still people coming in because the convention center is pretty big. Thank you for showing up this morning. I know it's been a long week, a lot of information. I'm sure everybody has still a bunch of questions that they want to answer. So today we're going to talk about migration to SharePoint Online, OneDrive for Business. The sum of it is it's a 200-level session, so we're not going to open PowerShell and show you more in detail. We're going to talk about options and tooling out there. If you have more detailed questions, feel free at the end of the session. We have a Q&A, or you can come by and we can answer more detailed or technical specific questions. So the gist of it today is migration to SharePoint Online. We have two speakers. My name is Simon. I'm the program manager in Redmond for SharePoint and OneDrive for data migration. And we have Ben here.
Hi, everyone. My name is Benjamin Nyland. Work at ShareGate. We're both from Quebec, so you'll notice a little accent here and there, but I promise it'll be fine. It'll be fine. One thing that I often tell about myself, and don't worry, I'm not going to do a 75-minute about myself, but I am two things. One of them, yes, is French. The other, lazy. And why am I telling you this? Because if I'm going to do a migration, it better be as easy as possible, with the least amount of effort as possible, and it's got to be successful. So that's the idea, and what we wanted to do today is to show you how to migrate to SharePoint Online, how to migrate essentially to OneDrive for Business, and we're going to go from preparing a migration, assessing the migration effort. Is there tooling available? What can you go get today and start assessing that migration? What is the effort going to be? How long is it going to take for you to get to OneDrive for Business or to SharePoint Online, or both, hopefully? How would you migrate? What's available again? What is the best way to migrate, and what are the pitfalls? There are things that we have to think about when we're migrating to the cloud. You know, sometimes I talk to people and they're like, "Ah, don't worry, Ben. I've done many on-premises migrations of SharePoint. I'm good." Like, it's not the same. There's a lot of differences that you'll see and things you have to think about moving to Office 365 SharePoint. And of course, the migration doesn't end there. What are we going to do after the migration? What are the post-migration activities or efforts that we must do? And lastly, overall, throughout that entire experience, how can you reduce the impact on the business? How can you make sure that it's a happy migration? Because usually I talk, let's be honest, right? You'll come to us like, "Hey, Benjamin, we're migrating." Yeah, people are not super happy. "My users are this, my users are that." So we're going to try and help you from our experience, both at Microsoft and here on the field. How can you get the least or reduce the impact on your business with some tips and tricks? And you know what? A little bit of things that we saw fail a little bit. So we'll see about that as well. So, Simon, why should we migrate?
Yeah, so this is an interesting question. A lot of people start and come in and they already have in mind, "I have to move." And some people ask themselves, actually, why would I just not start from scratch in the cloud and keep the rest as archive? It's actually sometimes a valid answer. So there's a few things. A lot of people are preparing to retire the old system just because of cost sometime. So you don't want, if you want to keep your archive, you might have to move it, and we're going to talk about cold versus hot data later. There's also restructuring. Sometimes you just merge with another company, they're already in the cloud, so you don't want to keep two environments. So really, there's a lot of business problems that you can solve by just moving everybody to Office 365. So just always start by asking your question, do you know why you're doing the migration? But once you know, that's where we are today, and let's talk about the first step. Do you know what you have? The inventory. There's a bunch of questions I have listed here. The reason we talk about it, I'm going to talk more in detail, but really, first, list your environment. There's a lot of people that don't realize that maybe your users are also using Box or another Google Drive on the side and you don't even know about it. You want to make sure that you don't lose them in the transition. Did you know all the files shared? Do you have a list of them? Do you know you have SharePoint? Which environment of SharePoint? Do you have multiple of them? There's a lot of things that you want to just start creating your own little map of, here's all the stuff I have, and also have an hierarchy of it, because we're going to talk later about how to map it to OneDrive or SharePoint online. And basically, if you don't know the mapping of everything that you have, you're going to have a hard time. And also, do you know the size? Because depending on the size of the data, there's different solutions out there. We're going to talk about different migration tool and all of it. The answer is, depending on your size of your environment, you might think of a different solution. The other thing is the data used? That's a key question that a lot of people, before you even start doing the migration, you should know. Is it mostly archives, or is it things that my users are collaborating a lot on it? Maybe I don't need to move all of it. Maybe some of it we just need to retire it or do a cleanup. We're going to talk also about cleanup later. So those are a basic question that you're going to need, and you're going to need that information throughout your migration. You're going to use it for doing your mapping. You're going to answer random questions during your project. Why am I moving that data? Oh, it's because it's cold or it's warm data. So the big thing is any project manager here knows that the earlier you find a bug or the earlier you find an issue, the better it is. So it's the same thing for migration. Do your inventory so you don't get a random surprise at the end of your migration that you forgot a full department. The other thing is it helps you understand your project, get your head around the project. And maybe later we're going to talk about how you split up the project so you can do it in chunks. So of course, make sure you find your surprise early because you're going to save a lot of time and money. And then collecting the information. So we just talked about inventory. You need to know what you have. Here's a few buckets of where you should start looking when you want to do inventory. If you're not that big or if you have a small environment or it's a file share, most of the time there's a manual process. You can just do a list of what you have, the structure of it, and just dump it in Excel. As soon as you start to have a lot of environment, a lot of data, look at what the first-party tools, depending on your source, offers. I'm going to give example. Box offers you to give you a report. There's other vendors that don't do the same thing. There's SharePoint. You have a beginning of your list, but you might not have all the information you care about. And then that's when the third-party tool comes in. And that's another option that you can add when you know that you're not getting your information that you need. You can look at third-party options. There's some of them that are free out there. We're going to talk about assessment. Just think about, you don't want to have 20 tools, or just look at which tools covers your need, and we're going to talk a lot about those tools later in the presentation. So that's the flow in your mind you should have when you think about inventory is, can I do it myself? Is there something out of the box that I can use, or do I need to go and get a third-party tool for my inventory?
Absolutely. If we're looking at the file, in fact, if I'm going to start any migration tomorrow, I require the inventory. You need to know what you have before you can even start assessing your migration effort. What do you have in your file share? I've seen people bring documents last modified 1998. Why are we bringing it somewhere else? It's like, I don't know. I don't own the document. It's got to be important. Since it wasn't me, I feel like I should leave it there. No. Run an inventory to know what you have, separated by the different sources that you have, FileShare, Google Drive, whatever it is that you want to migrate. But then you've got to also know where is it that you're going and really understand where you're going. OneDrive for Business and SharePoint. And I put team sites because a lot of the time we just understand it as team sites, right? So let's start with that a little bit, because I just answered this question earlier before the session even started, and over the course of the week, I think I was asked 100 times, should I be migrating to OneDrive for Business? Should I take my file share to OneDrive for Business? In fact, I even wrote a blog post because at some point, I couldn't take it anymore. I kept getting calls all the time. It's like, we're migrating our file shares to OneDrive for Business. No, you're not. All right? Let me explain what I mean by that. What is OneDrive for Business? OneDrive for Business is like your new My Documents folder. It's the replacement of home folders if you're using that. It's an individual place for each employee or colleague, for every user in your organization. Everyone has their own space, their OneDrive for Business, for them to store their files like they would on their desktop, on their My Documents, before it goes into the file share. And it's a way for them to explore and navigate and go to their team sites afterward. It's no surprise that Microsoft released an option right in the UI that allows you to select your documents in your OneDrive for Business and copy them or move them to a team site afterwards. So first and foremost, You're not migrating your file share to OneDrive for Business. Yes, you may be migrating your home folders that are on your file share, but typically speaking, we're thinking file share, we're thinking our G drive, or H drive, and the U drive, which typically I've seen associated to the home folders of users, that's getting planned to go to OneDrive for Business. Wait a minute, Benjamin, isn't OneDrive for Business never created until the first time the user goes to it? Absolutely. You have no OneDrive for Business on day one. You have the capability, but until John and Stephanie and Maggie go to their OneDrive for Business, there is no OneDrive for Business for these people. So you have to prepare that as well. So you gotta know where you're going, because there are scripts available. Microsoft has made that available that allows you to pre-provision the OneDrive for Business for your employees, for your users. And there, you can migrate to a destination that exists. Otherwise, you gotta know that it goes into your SharePoint sites. SharePoint sites will be a centralized place for your files, right? Basically, when the file is owned by the individual OneDrive for Business, when the file is owned by the team or by the organization's project or team or department, SharePoint team sites. And each of these have limitations as well that you should know and understand. I've seen things like, you know, they've recently announced, we support 25 terabyte SharePoint site collections. Why? Oh, well, unfortunately, a lot of people have just been dumping everything into one site collection. So they bumped it up so it's more attractive. But you gotta be understanding how SharePoint works, and that it's more of a horizontal architecture. So what are the list view limits? You might think that, oh, I cannot put more than 5,000 documents in the library. No, of course you can. There's a limit of 30 million. But you have to understand there are view thresholds and how to work around them before you migrate to it. List library limits, so we talked about the 30 million document limit. Site collection limits, is there a limit of site collections you can create? What is the 25 terabyte size limit? What is the file size limit? Are you planning on uploading very large files? Is there a limit? How are you gonna manage that? What about the characters? Are they all supported? Do you think they're supported, but then you realize that the OneDrive for Business sync engine might not support it? So you have to understand where you're going. Do your research to make sure that when you do go to it, you'll be ready. So we're going to talk about assessment. Now that we've got our inventory, we know what we have. We've scanned it. We understand the destination. All right, I know what OneDrive for Business is. I know what SharePoint team sites are. I think I'm getting this whole new groups thing. How do I plan and make sure that migration can happen? How long is it going to take? And that's what I mean by an assessment, right? To know what you have is the inventory, but what are the problems that you may encounter? Are the same site templates, if you're coming from on-premises, supported and available on Office 365? Did you use the meeting workspace in SharePoint 2010? Can you use that online? No. So you've got to be aware of all these things, and that's what an assessment is about, to figure all of this out for you. I put on a list some of the more common ones that we see: URLs, file path, file names, right? On your file share, it might be nice. You've got a folder with a subfolder with a subfolder that's got 17 million subfolders, and that works. But once you're gonna go to SharePoint Online, how does that translate in the URL? Is the name of your company something with 50 characters? .sharepoint.com/sites/ you decided to name your team site the best team site I have ever created /? And I've seen stuff like that. But you've got to be aware of that. It might be perfect on your file share, but can it work when you go there? And if you're very close to that, this is interesting. If you're very close to the character length limit, it will still allow you to upload, but then other functionalities might not work because it extends the URL a little bit for that, and then, oh, I couldn't open it in Office Online. What? But, so you gotta be aware of that. File sizes, character limitations, custom solutions, right? We cannot put sandbox solutions that have code in SharePoint Online. Did you use that before? How are you going to convert that into the new SharePoint framework? Did you think about that as well? The branding, this is the best question I always get. I want to keep my intranet branding. I built it in SharePoint 2007, or can you make SharePoint Online look like SharePoint 2007? No, I don't know why you want this. We're responsive now, we've got new options, we can right-click right from the web. I don't want to go back to SharePoint 2007. So the branding you cannot keep, but to be honest, if you are in SharePoint 2013 or 2016, there are ways. Your workflow state and history, what are you going to do with info path forms? Are you going to try and see if Power Apps can be an alternative? Permissions, is there like empty permissions or people granted permissions explicitly to an end user? Folders with more than 5,000 items, when you're going to migrate that, is there going to be complications? Unsupported site templates, we mentioned, orphaned users, checked out files. If you're migrating from SharePoint on-premises and the file is checked out, how are you going to bring it into the destination? Unsupported list templates, file extension. Well, actually, I'll let you do the honors.
Thanks. So basically, Benjamin talked a lot about all the issues you have to find, and we got announced this Monday the SharePoint assessment tool for 2013. The reason for it is we know for a file share, you can pretty much find all the information you want, but for SharePoint, it's always been more complex. There's always been more customization done. There's always been a lot of things that actually doesn't move to SharePoint Online. So what we did is we said, well, we're going to do our first step at trying to help our customer by giving you a free tool. It's on Microsoft download website. You can search for SharePoint assessment tool on the download website. You'll find it pretty easily. We have the link there. The session will have the slide uploaded later. So basically, you can go download the tool running on your environment. The only thing you have to do is drop the file on your farm in your SharePoint 2013 environment, run the tool. There's like two parameters, so it's not like you need a PhD to run it. And basically, it will generate you a CSV file, and actually multiple of them. So what we wanted to do there is give you a first glimpse of what you have in your SharePoint environment. You can actually also use that tool to do your inventory. So it will generate your list of sites that you have in your on-prem environment. So what you get out of it is three CSV. You get a first CSV that is the exec summary, how many terabytes you have or how many sites you have, and a summary of here's your top potential issue. And I want to mention the potential issue because it's not true that if you get a result here of, oh, I have a bunch of full trust code solution, I will never be able to move to the cloud. The answer of it is we list it as potential issue because it's up to you to decide what you want to do with it. That's why it's called an assessment. It's you decide if you want to rebuild it, and we're going to talk about all that later. But basically, we just list to you all the potential things that you should look at. It generates also two other type of CSV, one that is more of an expanded view where we say, for all of your sites, here's the list of potential issue per sites. And then also per scan, you'll get a list of detailed explanation for all of them. So every scan that we generate, you have a specific list that all of the sites that have those issues and why. We also put some link for Technic articles, so we're going to try to give you some guidance. Of course, those Technic articles will get updated through time, and we're going to provide more information with this. So some of it is, it's a simple tool. You just run it on your environment, and it gives you your first picture of what you have and what you have and what will move easily to SharePoint Online. So this is the key information you can have. And now what happens if this is not enough or you have 2013 or you have 2007 and you want to move to the cloud? So actually, there's a lot of tools out there. We gave a first free one because we wanted to have an entry-level tool that everybody can run on our 2013 environment. Now it happens that there's a lot of different tools out there. Everybody has a different assessment tool. There's people that specialize in assessment. There's people that just include it as part of their migration tool. So if you already have a partner in mind or you have already a deal with some of your migration vendor, it happens that they might be already providing tools for assessment. So you could compare the two results and see, oh, they seem to match together and they have the same key potential issue that they're flagging. I'm not going to list all the tools that are out there, but there's a lot of them. Like I said, some of them specialize on certain environments, so it happens that if you're coming from Box, you might want to look at a different tool than if you're coming from your file share. And honestly, for file share, sometimes you don't need those tools because you just need to list what you have, and then you know the limit you have to respect from SharePoint Online, and then you're good to go. And now there's those big issues. We mentioned the 2007 issue all the time. You're coming from 2007, you build your full trust code solution, and it's a team site that's been used across your company, fully customized. Maybe that's when you need to bring an expert. If you're feeling overwhelmed by that project, if you're thinking, okay, I know what I have, I was able to see what are all my issues, but for those specific sites, there's so many flagged issues that I don't know where to start with. That's where the experts come in, and honestly, they're always expensive, so that's why you want to list what you have, and maybe you want to call the expert only for a subset of it. That's something that people don't think about sometimes because they say, oh, I'm going to bring in an expert, he's going to do everything for me. You don't need this. Sometimes you just need him for a few sites that are very hard for you to move, and the rest, you can handle it. So that's why I say the experts are great for making a plan for the more complex, harder problem. There's a lot of them out there. You might be able to find some that are local to you. So just shop for them and see what they'll offer you. Everybody has a different expertise, so you can look at their background as well. So what do you do for starting to make a plan?
Oh, you start from the start. This is interesting. It's a methodology that we put in place internally a couple of years ago and have been using ever since. However, we did change the name, and I'll tell you why. We called it the RMR strategy: remove, migrate, rebuild. Essentially, what we did is we took our inventory, we added the assessment results. Basically, we color-coded kind of the complexity with the assessment. Right, so my inventory shows me all of my on-premises sites or all of my file share, and then I'll add the information that I got from the assessment. Difficult, medium, gonna be easy. And then what we do is we add another column, metadata, and essentially I tag them as whether we're gonna remove, whether we're gonna migrate it, or we're gonna rebuild it. But, you know, I'm lazy. I started just putting the first letter, and that doesn't work. RMR, there's two R's, so we changed it to, instead of remove, I put delete. So it's DMR, now I'm safe. Right? So I add that column, and then what I do is I identify whether we're going to keep it or it's too old. I'll contact the owners of that content in the organization. Thanks to the inventory that I have, I know who owns each of that content, whether it's on SharePoint and I have the site collection owners, or it's on file shares, and I have a good idea of who owns what in my file share. I'll choose whether we're going to migrate it to the destination. Essentially, that means we're going to bring it as it is. Maybe we'll modify some of the metadata, the workflows maybe a little bit. But I'm essentially just going to bring it to the destination as it is. But a lot of the time, we need to rethink. That's the beauty of a migration. You have the opportunity to say, you know, somebody built this 15 years ago, and I think there's a better way to do this, a better way to organize the content that we have. And that's the opportunity you have to rebuild during the migration, and we identify that. What I do with that giant Excel file that I have, right? And by the way, we've done this with a SharePoint list as well, right? You tag everything, you have your rows, that's your inventory that you imported from your CSV file, from the assessment tool, or wherever you scanned them from. Put it as a SharePoint list, and you've got your columns. You've got the DMR columns, you've got the complexity using the assessment, and then you add whatever you want for the effort, the point system, let's say from 1 to 10, how much effort you think that's going to cost you, so that later on you can build a calendar with your milestones, and you can say, you know, using the team that we have and our experience, or we'll get the experience over the first month of the migration, I know that our team can do about 30 points per week. So you can choose what's going to make that 30 points, or let the business choose and tell them, look, me and my team, we're two people. We serve 4,000 of you. So what I can do is migrate, rebuild, or remove for 30 points worth every week. Let me know what you prefer and what stages, and we'll do that in that order. The customer, which is the business owners or whoever, like, yeah, I get that. So I'm going to work with you, and I'm not going to expect you to migrate over the weekend our 25 terabytes. I get it. So it's to set the expectations. The beauty of doing this in SharePoint, it is that you can also add some workflows, some forms, people requesting things. You can do a lot of additional efforts and stuff there as well. Now, there's also another option we haven't really talked about here. You can also go hybrid, right? It doesn't mean that you have to migrate from your on-premises 2013 and go everything into the cloud. There are hybrid possibilities. And 2013 and 2016 is very similar in what they offer. For SharePoint on-premises, and I should have added Exchange to be very honest as well as part of it, but we're focusing on files a lot today, is you can connect to Office 365 and make sure that the user's experience is relatively seamless. But you have to understand that SharePoint Online and OneDrive for Business Online is moving at a very rapid pace. And there's a lot of changes happening these days. So for your end user, you must understand that they will go from one SharePoint site that looks a certain way to a SharePoint site that looks very differently online. And the hybrid experience is mostly connecting the two using things like search, being able to audit, announced recently, but not necessarily at a deeper level. So you have to understand, what does it mean to go hybrid? Definitely look into that, but it's definitely a very good option when you can't necessarily bring everything into the cloud. If you have a lot of custom development, for example, and they're worth a lot, they cost a lot, you put many, many, many months, perhaps years into developing them, well, why would you recreate them for another year? You could leverage them on premises and start building online. A good way to start is often with OneDrive for Business. It's a great way to connect the two at the beginning and then bring up the SharePoint pieces over. So we're going to start covering the migration.
Yes, so we talked about everything you need to do for preparing to make sure you have a great migration. Now we're here to talk about, let's start moving some data. When you look at it, there's a lot of options out there. If you look at it just for tool-wise, there's a lot of options, but also you have to figure out, okay, which source, am I doing a different way for different sources? So I tried to bucketize it in four solutions and a group of solutions that work together. So first we have Fast Track Service. We're gonna talk about today what they offer, when you should go to them or not. The other thing is the PowerShell tool. This is a tool out there. It's there for some people that have been able to use it for small scale. We're going to talk as well about this. There's also the expert consultant. Why would you go for an expert? Sometimes it's actually your best option because it's going to take you too much expertise, or you're going to need a lot of training for just a small section of sites. And then also there's third-party tools out there. So between that mix of options, you really can grab your head around, how am I going to do my migration? So let's talk about Fast Track. What is Fast Track? Fast Track has been there for a while for Exchange. It's a newer service for SharePoint and OneDrive. It is a service, I want to reiterate. It is not a tool. We don't give you a tool. It is a service that people you talk with, you work with, and they'll move the data for you. But it's not just data move. It's a service that is end-to-end, that they'll start by getting you started, making sure you have your provisioning done. And then also, once they start doing the migration, it is not a hands-off project. It is something that you work with them. For example, the assessment. They'll help you with the assessment. They'll actually, if you're coming from 2013, they'll just tell you to run the tool that we just put on Microsoft Download website. But they'll help you go through the result. But at the end of the day, it is your data. It is your environment, your enterprise. So the remediation, you're the person who's going to make the call of, are we cutting it? Are we making the change, rebuilding the solution? They won't rebuild the solution for you. They'll help you once you decide, okay, those sites are ready to go. I know what I expect once I move it to the final destination. Now they will actually do the migration for you. So you don't need to go buy a third-party tool. You don't need to learn how to use it. They will do the move for you. But again, it is a mapping where they will work with you for moving that content. And then once it's over there, they actually add value to it by saying, we'll make sure your users know how to use the new service. They'll help you enhance your environment, making sure that you're fully stood up in a perfect way for you to go ahead. So again, it is a service that is offered. We have a list here. This is who's entitled for the service. Basically, two buckets of people, 150 seats or more with those licenses, they'll do the migration for you. So the full process that I just talked about, they'll do it with you. If you're between 50 seats and 149 seats, they will not do the migration for you, but they'll do the same process and they can help you walk through everything. The only difference is they won't do the data move for you. So source-wise, because it has been there, like I said earlier, for a while for Exchange, but when you think about SharePoint Online and OneDrive for Business, so there's multiple tool, multiple sources that they'll help you through. Sources for OneDrive for Business, Google Drive, file shares. Like we said earlier, they'll talk with you and they'll make sure that you're not moving the collaboration stuff into your OneDrive. They'll actually make sure that you do the due diligence of separating what is personal versus what is team collaboration. And then Box, of course, same thing for Box as Drive. They'll take the data, you have to tell them which user goes well. You're gonna have to build your own mapping of which user in Box is a user in SharePoint Online. But apart from this, they'll do the movement for you. The other thing is SharePoint Online. So we talked about personal content, the source they move. For the migration source for SharePoint Online, we know we have file share. There's a, like I said, team collaboration scenarios that you want to move to your team sites. But there's also SharePoint 2013. It's a limited time offer starting in October. And it's going to be, you have to register for it until, you have up to until March to register for it. The reason for it is it's our first step towards that direction. We want to see how many people will come in and are interested in that service because, like I said, it's not a tool that we give to you. It is a service, so you have to work with us. And we want to make sure everybody who is interested in it has time to go through the service description and actually sign up or not, depending on their interest. And we also move Box if you have team collaboration stuff for Box into team sites. So to reiterate, Fast Track Migration, it is a resources that we give to you. This is people that we work their shift to move their data, your data, into your environment. It also helps with user enablement and it follows a proven process. If you looked at it, the process that they followed is similar, very similar to what we're presenting today. And there's a reason for it is they make sure that it's a cookie cutter process that they follow and they make sure that they follow every good guidance that we can provide. So I just said it is a cookie cutter process. It is not a full like expert come in and make a custom solution for you. They don't do the remediation. So make sure to have that in mind. If you're thinking that Fast Track will solve all your complex solution for you, it is not the case. It is something that you can sell, you can help save cost on this and then go to expert for the other part. But again, not a custom solution. Another option out there that we shipped last year, and I'm gonna talk about improvement we've been doing on it, but there is a free option for PowerShell that is a tool. And for FileShare, it's a simple tool that might be enough for, depending on your environment, might be enough for you. So it is free for small projects, like say you have a few home drives that you're trying to move to their OneDrive for Business. It is fairly easy to follow and you just script a bit and then you'll be able to do it. The thing I just mentioned, it is scripting. It is some PowerShell commands that you have to run. They don't do the remediation for you. It's not a full baked-in tool. And you have to handle some things like package splitting to make sure you have the full performance you want. Those kind of issues, you don't encounter it at small scale, but once we talk about large scale later, that's where the PowerShell tool starts to fall off when you have those kind of issues like package splitting. So this is the tools, the PowerShell command. That's as much as commands that you're going to see for this presentation. This is what we announced last year. Now there's a bunch of new commands that are being added. One of them is encryption, because we know people care about encryption. So we shipped last year a migration API. That was the first step in ups helping you move your data in a reliable way into your service. We added since then encryption at rest. So for people who had concern about the temporary storage in Azure while the data was transitioning to SharePoint Online, you now have the option of encryption at rest. And it is enforced for if you're using our SPO provided containers. So this is another thing we shipped during this year is we are providing now temporary storage for the data migration. In the past, if you looked at the SharePoint Online Migration API, you needed that Azure container or Azure destination for your temporary storage in order to move the data in the final destination. So we took that step off of your plate. We don't need to know anything about Azure anymore. We're gonna provide a PowerShell command that just gives you the container. And this is free of charge. This is included as part of your SharePoint Online subscription. You can literally get your container for your migration to SharePoint Online. We built it as an API that we're going to talk later about. But the goal of it is free. It is not free for drive shipping. So it is a network-only option that is free. So there's also other things like third-party tools that Benjamin is going to talk about.
Exactly. So one of the ways PowerShell allows us to bring our file shares, bring our content straight into Office 5 using that new migration API available roughly 18 months ago, if I'm not mistaken, at the last Microsoft Ignite. And as mentioned, it leverages Azure to send as blob, and then they come and pick it up and put it in the right location. Now, we're very, very excited that the storage container now is just included and free, and there is no additional cost to it. But you do have to think about what you're going to migrate. We looked at the inventory. We looked at the assessment. And we looked at the DMR strategy that allows us to maybe rethink, restructure what we have. So with the PowerShell, strictly for content, sometimes it becomes a little complicated if you need to do a lot of modifications and change a lot of what you have at the source going to the destination. The third-party tools will often leverage the migration API, and I'll talk about that in just a few slides, but I wanted to talk to you about the pros and cons of leveraging these third-party tools. Now, obviously, it doesn't migrate just the content. It allows you to do much more than that, restructure, rebuild. You have sites you need to merge at the same time. You have libraries you want to split apart. You have libraries you want to merge together. You want to leverage new content types. You want to turn your choice column into a managed metadata column because you come from 2007. Whew. There are a lot of benefits of using those third-party tools. If you have a simpler migration, of course, the PowerShell is the way to go. So reorganizing, restructuring, what do you want to script and schedule? And often, it's almost much easier to migrate. A year ago or before the migration API, if somebody wanted to go to Office 365 or SharePoint, I tell them, you got no choice. Either you start from scratch or you got to get a third-party tool. And over that time, it's made the effort a lot easier for you to just drag and drop it to the destination. Of course, cons, it comes at an additional cost. But you can evaluate that with the cost of doing it yourself. Depending on the tool, that could be a more affordable option. Now, today, there are many migration tools. Obviously, I favor one, but I won't mention. But there are many migrations that support the new migration API, and others are supporting it very soon from what Simon is telling me. So you will have the option, and if you are using one of these tools, you will be able or ask them, do you support the migration API? Now, with their recent announcement, making the Azure storage container free, we've seen an immense increase in migration using that method at much higher speeds. And we're very, very happy to see that. Of course, that's seamless to you when using these tools. You can also get help from experts, but there's pros and cons to that as well. I'm going to start with my favorite con. They're not always experts. All right? I've seen some pretty fun stuff. And some of them, you know, contact me and say, how should I do the migration? I'm like, well, you're the expert for the customer, and you shouldn't be asking me, right? Maybe that was a little harsh. But no, you have to be aware of that. As Office 365 becomes the place to be for productivity for many organizations, what's happened is you got a lot of experts that came from the Exchange side and said, yeah, I can do SharePoint too. What's the worst that can happen? That's a little bit more complicated than that. And they have, as I said earlier, have to be aware of how it works. What's a workflow? What's a master page? What are content types? How to use them? What's the best way of leveraging Term Store? Is there synonyms? How do I do multiple languages? There's a lot to know. So yes, it's a great thing to use experts. And even with Fast Track, still very valuable to have as part of that project. As long as they know SharePoint Online, they know OneDrive for Business, they can tell you what is possible and what is not possible. The migration experience usually a lot better. They've done this many times before. They have the Excel files all mapped out. Usually have some formulas, calculate some of your ROI. Why not? I love hearing that in the conversations. Help with extending the capabilities as you migrate. Oh yeah, yeah, no problem. I can code a little web part for that. Or we'll go and add an add-in. We know that one. We've used it before. I've done 7 migrations this year. It is very valuable to have an expert as long as they're an expert. You can always contact me. I'll let you know who's... And of course, that does come with higher cost. Because despite the fact that you're going with an expert, it doesn't mean that you won't also need to get a third-party tool to actually do the move. The expert doesn't come with magical PowerShell hidden commandlets that will do everything for you. The job's still the same. They can just help you with the planning, which is the hardest part of the migration. People often ask me, the move, guys, this is the easiest part to take and bring to the destination. With tools that analyze the problems and bring it, or PowerShell that ships it over there, that's not the problem. The problem is planning and making sure the communication is done right throughout the whole process, and we'll talk about that afterwards. So plan, but also pilot. Test it out. Somebody recently, I remember, I think I've never received an email so harsh in my life. And I don't even work at Microsoft, so I don't know why I was receiving this email. It's like, I went to SharePoint, and I have special character that we use in certain files, and the sync for OneDrive for Business doesn't support it yet. They said it's coming in 6 months. Okay, well, you've got to do your plan. You got to understand the destination, know the limitations, and then you should pilot it first. But you also got to do a good pilot. I've had a bad scenario, and I'm going to admit it. Not always perfect. For the recording, they applauded in the next session. We still have a lot of time. All right. So, it happened to me. There's two things. The first thing that happened to us is we did a pilot all right. Who did we do the pilot with? Let's do it with all the VPs. Yeah, bad idea. Very bad idea. Yeah, so that project almost went to the garbage bin, but thankfully we said, no. Give us another try, and this time we tried another group, one that was prepared to test something new. The other story comes from a friend of mine. I don't know if Rami's here from Heineken. And he's told me a very fun story as well. Aaron did an inventory assessment, wanted to prepare a migration. And they didn't realize that the content that they were migrating had something called user alerts in SharePoint. You can set up as an end user an alert. Hey, whenever the document is changed, hey, give me an email. And turns out that what they decided to migrate had a lot of alerts set up. They migrated to the destination, but they were unaware of all of these because the inventory wasn't complete. And at the destination, they didn't turn off alert notifications. What happened next was a very interesting story. I'll let you go and find them somewhere at Ignite amongst 20,000, but let's just say that they suddenly received a lot of emails from unaware souls asking, what are you doing with my document? I'm presenting it next week to the financial officer. You better not have moved it. What is this new URL? Why are you doing? Where is it going? So be very careful when you plan, when you pilot, but do it. So Simon, what about large scale? We've been talking about smaller migrations of medium, but what about if I have many, many terabytes?
So of course there is every size of company out there. There's people who always come to us and say, I have 4 petabytes of data, and how do I get it to SharePoint Online? Well, first you should do a cleanup because 4 petabytes is a lot of data and maybe you're not using it all. But so there is multiple methods. We're going to talk quickly. Upload method, a few things. If you're a large scale, let's say you know it's going to take you a quarter or more, options to consider. For if you're going to do it through network, is your network going to be able to handle it? or do you need to set up an Azure Express route? That's an option out there that Azure is offering. It comes at a cost, but it is something that will help you for your upload to Azure, because once the data is in Azure as the temporary storage, it's in our own data center, so it's pretty fast. The other option is drive shipping. Everybody always say, oh, I'll just use drive shipping. Be careful, we're not talking about content database drive shipping. This is something you need to prepackage the content. Some tool out there do it better than others, but it is not just taking my SharePoint content database and shipping it to Azure. So those are options there. The benefit of it is you can still prepare the package ahead of time, make a lot of R drive. Azure supports 6 terabyte R drive. You can ship a lot of them at the same time, and then parallelism. That's the next step I'm gonna talk about, is speed of migration. Always find your bottleneck. Everybody has a different problem with their speed, and it's never the same thing. Everybody has bottlenecks, and at some point you have to figure out, is it worth the investment of fixing those bottlenecks? Because sometimes it's as fast as it's gonna get, but all I have to do is go parallel. Migration is not always about getting one file really fast into the service, but it's about finishing your project. How do you finish your project? You go parallel. You do a lot of scripting, you do a lot of automation, make sure you have multiple VM running in parallel. And we talked about the Migration API earlier. That part is untroubled. You can do a lot by going in parallel. There is gonna be remediation, fix up. We're gonna talk about planning later. Those things still have the CSUM limitation, but the goal of it is your data itself can move tremendously faster if you're going in parallel. So of course, scripting, scheduling, that is things that are worth the investment if you're doing large scale. Also set the expectation. We talked about pilot. Do you know the type of data you're moving? Do you know how many version, how many metadata are associated with them? That will impact your performance. We had a customer who had thousands of version on each files. We told them, you know, your speed will be way faster if you only keep 10 version, and maybe that's all you need. You don't need the 1,000 version, or maybe you need just 100. So those are things to consider, especially when you're doing large scale. At large scale, saving 1,000 version versus saving 10 version is a huge difference. So those are the kind of things that you should think about when you're doing, you're looking at your speed. And of course, the pilot will give you the truth about the speed. Don't do a pilot that is 700 megs and then, oh, we'll do the math of this is how fast we are. Do an actual pilot that has some sense to it. Add some files and make sure you are within the boundary of a reasonable pilot, but still you were able to test your full velocity at scale with parallelism. So those are the kind of tips for speed itself, but there's also a lot of speed comes with planning. Migration waves, we always talk about it. CSUM has some limitation. Those are things that people have to work around, because it is a service. Our priority is making sure our service is reliable. You're not crashing the service. Your end user that you already migrated are not being impacted by that migration. So that's why we build a migration API. Most of it can go through the back end. Your user won't notice anything. But as soon as you talk about rebuilding something or changing the layout, those are things that can still is still being done through the front end, and that's where you're gonna encounter some limitations. So migration waves can be staggered. It's not because you're moving someone right now that you can't do anything else. You might be moving the data for a bunch of users at once, but at the other time, you're also rebuilding the environment for a team site that was fully customized at the same time. So you can stagger those, and sometimes you'll be preparing something at the same time as you're moving something, at the same time as your user are doing a UAT at the end, because we're gonna talk about user validation. That can happen in multiple waves. You don't need to wait at the end and ask everybody, okay, is everything okay? Because your help desk is gonna get hammered by questions. So make sure you're prepared for that. Make sure you have a good schedule in mind. Minimize your read-only time. Your user can't go a week without touching their files. So often enough, you'll do a first wave migration that we call this the bulk upload, and then do a delta at the end during the weekend, or use the advantage of your holidays. You know there's gonna be less traffic during those holidays. Try to make the big moves during those time period, because you know there's less files being changed. You'll be able to do your delta way faster. So that's the kind of tips we can give you about planning also. So post-migration, it's not because you managed to move all your content that everything is in good shape. So let's talk about post-migration.
Absolutely. So in post-migration is, you know, again, I'm lazy. So as much as possible during this migration, I try to empower other users. That means giving them the migration or letting know what's happening. So they'll help me prepare the migration What should we migrate from this inventory that I'm giving you, right? You tell me. But at the end of the migration, you have to provide them with a report. We were at a customer with a couple thousand, I think it was 16,000 users. So what we did is at the end of each migration wave, we would have a detailed report that we would give out to the content owners, the business owners of that business unit, and saying, this is everything that we migrated. This is the success rate. It failed, or it was a success, or this happened, so we changed it into this. Detailed report, give it to them. I also like to provide them with a detailed report of their permissions. How was the access on your files before? This is the access of everything you have at the destination now, right? So that is part of the post-migration effort, of course, but it goes a lot more than that. You want to be able to basically redirect your users to the new destination, whether it's using link redirects, warning banners a couple of weeks in advance. Hey, we're about to close this 2003 environment. It's 2016. All right, but give them a warning. What's going to change? Some trainings, putting your sites in read-only, right? SharePoint on-premises allows you to set things as read-only. So people continue to have the same permissions that they had. Nothing is impacted on the actual SharePoint site. So if you decide to go back into read-write, everything's intact, but you can set essentially a read log on your site collections. So the user that have a behavior to go back to the old location, they realize that, oh, I can't save it. Save as pops up, they go to the new destination and save the file there. And you kind of guide them to that destination. Same thing for file shares, right? Their habits for the last 25 years is to go G, finance, save. Oh, yeah, it's true. They said about the SharePoint thing. That's the reality of the end user. So that helps them guide them to the destination as well. So basically, source read only. You know what? Obviously, communications, let them know when what's going to happen. But here's the trick that I usually use, and hopefully it helps you as well. I go into the room where part of the SharePoint migration project, and then I'll organize a time. Guys, little tip, always feed people. Meeting like this, donuts, bagels, whatever you can. You're in the Netherlands, bring some oliebol. You definitely want to get some of that. So what I do is I pretend that we have a little retail store. And I usually always use the same example because I'm not that much of a creative person. So I'm like, look, guys, we have a coffee shop. We're in the mall. We're going to a new location. This rent is too expensive, or we just need a bigger spot. What are we doing? How do we move this? Do we just, everyone shows up, everyone working at the mall, all the regulars that are coming to our little coffee place to work and get their coffee, do we just shut down and open somewhere else all of a sudden? That's not how it goes. You've seen how it happens in the mall. There's always a banner, we're moving soon, or at the other location, we're coming soon. Find us, go up the escalator, and then everybody comes in, and you're like, hey, by the way, I want you to know we're going to this new location. Here's a little coupon to come and visit us at the next one. Whatever the tips are, whatever you're going to do, translates very easily as your file share or your SharePoint store. You can't just put your file share as read-only and just leave. So, oh, you guys didn't know we moved to a new location. No. So you got it. All of that planning, everything we're talking about today, Simon and I, yes, there's the technical part of moving, but that's one of the biggest tip I think that I can give you, apart from some of them that we're going to come afterwards. Communication is constant. There is no, oh, we'll wait at the end and we'll do a big communication. No, it's all the time. During the inventory and the assessment, during the planning and the migration, and after the migration to set the expectations. Now, as part of the communication, you can go outside of the box. What we've done is we used video capsules. Whether you have a little screen recording tool on your computer, whether you combine that with putting your phone on a tripod that costs like $30 on Amazon and recording in the front of the office, just make sure they're short capsules. Today, nobody wants to pay attention for more than 2-3 minutes. So do short capsules. Actual fact, I don't know that I can say the name of the customer, but very, very large engineering company that makes, actually, hey, go to my LinkedIn, see customer, but I didn't say it publicly. But essentially what we did is we said, we're gonna provide training on where we're going. They're going from FileShare to a SharePoint destination, over a couple of terabytes, 4,000 users all over the world in different languages. How do you communicate this? Obviously, there's the usual elevator music and emails that nobody reads. What we did is we provided that training capsules. And by making the video capsules 3 minute long, we had a view rate at 92% of the entire company viewed all 20 hours of video training. Why? Because they always had the choice to stop, but they didn't. If you see there's a training, it's gonna be an hour and 15 minutes. Actually, here you are. But if you see a training that's gonna be an hour and 15 minutes, like, I'll do it later, I don't have time, I have to work. But you show up and it says, hey, how to upload files to OneDrive for Business and sync them, 3 minutes. Yeah, let's go. Right, the video was good. And at the end of the video, hey, do you wanna view the one how to bulk edit? No. Yeah. You wanna see where the new SharePoint looks like? I got 3 minutes. All of a sudden, they spend their entire lunch. And we had a very high success rate of viewing all of that training content. So we're very happy about that. Other ways that we've done, now that depends on the company. You know the old school medieval, you know, wax that you melt on the envelope and then you have an icon, a seal, and you seal the envelope? Maybe I'm a geek, but I love those. So I went out, I can tell you, it's $36. I'll never forget, because I was like, really? I'm gonna buy it for everyone at the office. But what we did is, the first thing we always do is we never call SharePoint SharePoint. We always give it a brand, because if we fail, we can start again. So we called it something. Let's call it eSpace, for example, right? We call our SharePoint intranet, we give it a brand. And instead of just doing video and training, we made it into a thing. So I got that from Amazon, $36. I made secret invitations that you're invited to a secret meeting where we're gonna talk about something new. People showed up from their holidays. What is this? Right, of course, put a little bit of music, put a little bit of donuts, always feed them. Tell them, look guys, always explain why you're going. Don't just switch to SharePoint. Try to understand from FileShare, some people, you're asking them a lot. Another organization, we had 50% of staff retiring within the next 5 years. And we're showing up like, hey guys, SharePoint, metadata. They're like, yeah, we'll use that. But if we do a little secret meeting for special people, power users, and we tell them, look, this is why we're going. It allows us to do this. You'll be able to co-author documents. You'll be able to seek approval of the document. This is how you create a page now. You don't have to learn HTML. You can just create the page. Oh, I can use that for that. And then what happens is that energy goes back into the office. And whenever somebody complains in that department, that power user that had a special badge and special sealed envelope, no, Jonathan, I know what's coming. I know right now it's not, no. Helps a lot. So you could do all of that. You could listen to us, or you can be this person. Nah, I'm good, guys. I'll do it on my own. What I'm gonna do is, I'm gonna drag and drop files with Explorer. I think my friend Natalie had that experience. We were at SharePoint conference in 2012. This time she's here, she's getting shy. Right? Somebody shows up to the booth that we had, Natalie? Your name is all over our intranet, all of our files. Me? Well, yeah, because 7 years ago, you did a migration with drag and drop, so all of our files created by Natalie, modified by Natalie on the date of. We all know you in the company. Oh. So yeah, you could do that. All your workflows no longer work, your retention policies no longer work. You can use this sink to migrate. Good luck. Do an overnight migration. Don't tell anyone. Move the shop. That works, but nobody comes to the new location. They don't even know it's there. Forget some of the content because I had no inventory. I didn't even know I had this, right? You told me it was this file share. You didn't tell me there was this other file share. Move everything into OneDrive for a bit. I've seen this too many times. In fact, Microsoft's seen this too many times. That's why OneDrive for Business is starting to say, hey, stop going there, and removed a lot of the capabilities. Because before, people would just migrate to OneDrive for Business, create a user called Marketing, and migrate there to say, well, I got 1 terabyte free there. Yeah, but it's not a team site. So definitely don't do that. Migrate from home with your internet bandwidth. I'll do it from the weekend at home, the migration. I'll connect to the office, I'll connect to SharePoint Online, and I've got a 1 megabit upload. Actual true story, not necessarily the home part. I was talking to somebody on the field. I think he might be in the room, Chris. And he was saying, you know, we're planning all of this. The company is going to SharePoint Online. They're all going to the cloud. That means the organization is about to constantly work with an internet connection to access their files all the time. And they found their migration to be a little slow. Check everything. 6 megabit upload. Well, yeah, but think about it. You could be complaining about your migration, but this is going to be your new reality. You're always going to be working with uploading and downloading files from the internet, from the cloud, from Office 365. So the migration, the planning phase starts all the way back with, do you have the right networking? So thank you, Chris, if it was you. And of course, this one's a funny one, because obviously I work at a migration tool. And I get people say, we'll create a migration tool ourselves. And it took us 6 years. Right? It's a lot of work. Of course, you can extend PowerShell and do this and do that, but there's a lot of considerations in there. Right? The term store, there's a lot of consideration into it. So folks, thank you very much. If you have any questions, we're here for the next 13 minutes. I hope you enjoyed it. Simon?
Thank you for coming. And like we said earlier, if you have questions, there's 2 microphones here. If you have more technical questions, we're still here after the session. We can answer your questions. Hopefully everybody enjoyed it, and thank you for coming.
Thank you.